Man, I've been really looking forward to this weekend. You ever like go into something saying, I've got something that people are gonna love? You ever do that? Go into something going, I have something that people need. I have something that's gonna give hope. That's what we have over the next few weeks. We're looking at technology and the role in our life, and I'm gonna talk about things we probably all felt, we probably all believed, we probably all known, but there's a thing that maybe God wants to speak to you in the midst of it that I'm pretty excited about today. So let's pray before we go any further. God, you're the God of all things. It means all things are in the sky and all things in our pocket, all wires, all Wi-Fi signals, everything that's been created and will be created. You're the God of all these things. And I am praying that you would help us to see these things the way they are, and to see you the way you are, and you'd help me to be just very helpful, hopeful, and clear. And I pray these things according to the character and identity of Jesus. Amen. Well, I don't know how many of us would call ourselves nerds, or how many of us would just say, I love technology, I like it, a lot. I'm one of those people. I've had a relationship with tech for quite some time. When I was growing up, tech started to take off. You have the personal computer that started to come out. You had Atari. You had the little hand football games. They were called Coleco way back when. And my friends would have them. My relatives would have them, who I saw on Christmas break, and I didn't have them. And then when I did have them, I never had any games for them. My parents are very frugal. They manage their money really, really well. But what this did for me is it kind of fed into this sort of poverty orphan mindset when I was a kid. And technology was sort of a way that I was behind. So when I could have technology, oh my gosh, I was all over. It was like scratching some itch inside of me. I was one of the first people I know who got a cell phone. And I got a cell phone because I could justify it as an expense here at Crossroads when we started Crossroads. A big honking thing on my side belt there, right? It was years before Lib actually got a cell phone because they were expensive and it wasn't a business expense for her, but I had one and I loved it. I remember being at a conference and the phone would ring in the conference and I'd be a douchebag and answer it just because that was cool. I'd be like, hello? It was a sense of power. While on summer break, a number of years ago, it must have been 15, 13 years ago, something like that, the iPhone 3 came out, and I was one of the people who stood in line for hours to get the iPhone 3. I thought it was just so cool. It's kind of not very cool that iPhones really haven't changed for years. That's kind of a bummer. I have one of the later models right here. This is every single model of iPhone that's come out from the very beginning of time, or at least from the year that it was. And I've been enamored with them. These things make you feel actually divine. They do. They make you feel omnipresent. You can be everywhere and find out what's going all over the place. They make you be omniscient, because you can find out anything at a moment's notice. Do you know that today, you get more information in one day than people in 1400 got their entire life? One day. You can find out anything. How trustworthy it is another matter. You can be anywhere by streaming things or look. These things make us feel like we're a divine entity because we have powers, abilities, able to see things that nobody previously in human history ever had. We unfortunately have a car that had to get replaced. It got totaled just in the last week or so. So we're trying to figure it out. And no one's hurt, by the way, all good. Just stupid things happen sometimes. You know what my question is? Because the last car we had didn't have CarPlay. I'm like, does this have CarPlay? Like, I'm more concerned about CarPlay than gas mileage, more concerned about CarPlay than four-wheel drive rain. Does it have CarPlay? Because I love tech. I love it. You know, and if you have the Android, if, you know, one of two of you who have that, hopefully you know that it's Valentine's Day weekend. Hopefully you can find each other, and hopefully you can stay out of the rest of our text threads, you know? And I actually find that the Android people wear that with a badge of courage. Oh, it's better technology, but I know. You still annoy us. It's fun to have fun with you. It's funny, isn't it? We can poke at each other about our technology. We don't poke at each other around the clothes we wear or even the cars we drive, but our technology is because of the potency of it. In the midst of this potency, I want to clarify things for us, things you probably all know, things you already heard of, but maybe in this context, it'll give you a different path and it will give you hope. It'll give you something else to sink your teeth into. Ephesians 5 verse 14 says this, "Awake, you sleeper, rise from the dead and Christ will shine on you." We're about here at Crossroads. We're wanting to see an awakening. We're wanting to see the Spirit of God move across our region and for people to see God, to actually come in relationship with Him, for things like miracles to take place, healings, refreshing of our hearts and relationships, for the cultural milieu to change. That's an awakening. But you know what? That awakening doesn't happen unless we as individuals wake up. That we wake up to the delusional influences that are numbing us out and putting us asleep. There is a digital world that actually affects and infects the spiritual world, and void of you being aware of this and being aware of the schemes of an evil entity who wants to hurt us, numb us, isolate us, divide us, depress us, anxiety us, without knowing that, you can't go forward. There is a price for your device. These things I'm talking about today, and actually this series I was inspired by because a friend of mine, Darren Whitehead, pastor of a good church in Nashville called Church of the City, did this, and I heard about it, and I thought, oh, dude, we need to do that. In fact, there's churches all over the country that are going to be doing what we're doing leading up to a digital fast, going for Lent for 40 days without our devices. This, that. I know, relax. You don't have to like that idea. You don't have to agree to it right now. Just so you know, that's where I'm going. And I'm borrowing heavily from some of Darren's research. It's really, really solid. The book of John, chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says this, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life abundantly." You know, there is a thief. The Bible refers to him, or you may know him, of him as the devil or Satan. This thief also has names that are the adversary, the liar, angel of light, meaning he looks like he's nice, but he's really not, the deceiver. And he does a thing so that we don't have life. Jesus says, have life abundantly. Americans are not having life abundantly. There isn't a social indicator that's positive and up and to the right. Every single one I've ever seen is down going left. Anxiety, depression, insomnia, bitterness, all of it is in much higher levels than has ever been in measured history in America and in the world. And it may just be that it's the price of our device that's never existed any other time in the last 15 years. Now again, we all know this. I don't think anyone's going, you know what I need? I need a talk on how I should look at a small screen more often every day. That's what I need. No one said, we know that. We know this, the things we're talking about. But maybe we haven't framed this up with the spiritual realm in which it's operating. We need a digital reset. We need to unplug and reset ourselves digitally to use these things as a tool instead of being these things' tool. We need to reset it. So let's talk about these three things that Jesus says he wants to give us life, life abundantly, but there's an entity that doesn't want us to have life. Three things does. Number one, it steals. It steals. The word steal here in the Greek is the word klepto, where we get the word kleptomaniac. This word isn't just to steal something. This word means to do it secretly so someone doesn't even notice. That's the best kind of thievery. Oh, a number of years ago, I had a horrible thievery experience. Someone stole my wallet. Actually, they didn't steal my wallet. They were very smart and sneaky. They stole the cash out of the wallet and the cards and left the wallet intact. So I went around for like a day or so, didn't even know, had no idea. while I didn't know, they're out charging things up and blowing that cash, because if I knew, they couldn't do that. I didn't know until I went to a gas pump. I was like, where's my cards? Sneaky, amazingly sneaky. This is what was taking place in the Greco-Roman world. It meant to steal in a stunningly clever way. Genghis Khan and the Mongols, they wouldn't just overwhelm the entire world by brute force. What they really enjoyed was tricking people. They would rather win something through guile and cunning and surprising people, even through lying or whatever it would be, than overpower them. They got these really sick joy out of this. This is what the evil one's like. He doesn't want to just trounce you. He wants to steal from you in ways that you don't even know and you don't even see it coming. I believe that that's what he's done with this. He's stolen from this. Let's just talk about things that are different over the last 10 to 15 years. What do people do when they're in a group of, say, six people, and two people in that group of six people seem to be talking for like about 30 seconds? It's just them and them, and the other four people aren't involved. What do the other four people do, or at least half of the other four people? I'm not involved for 30 seconds. Like right in front of them. Like, that's really weird. We understand in all of anthropological history, no one would have ever done that. I'm here with real people who are talking. The limelight isn't on me for 30 seconds, but I'm bored. Boom, I come up to my phone. Friends, that is weird. More than I want to admit it, the price of my device is I text while I'm in the car, and I don't only do it when I'm sitting at a red light, and it's horrible. It's awful. I'm an awful person when I do that, and yet I have still done it. There is a lure to this. There's a power to this device. I used to be able to drive someplace one time, and I could always get there no matter where I was from. I would tell somebody, how do I get there? And they say, well, here's how you do it. They tell me, I'd write it down on pencil and paper. I'd write it down. Then later I got a Palm Pilot, because I was a techie guy. Anybody remember Palm Pilots? It was basically pencil and paper, where you would have a to-do list and you'd have notes and you have your calendar, you know, so I'd write it down in my Palm Pilot or on paper. Or then when it got really cool, you go to this thing called the World Wide Web, and you go to MapQuest and you type it in and then you print it out and you take it with you, right? I would do that once, I would know how to get there. Now, I have no idea how to get places without my phone. Last week, I went over to my daughter and son-in-law's house. They've lived in this house for, I don't know, 2 years, so I've been over there dozens of times. Now I was going over, and it's really embarrassing. But you try this stuff sometime. And they live 12 minutes away from me. Oh, yeah, I'm just going to drive over. I don't need to put it in my address. Would you believe I got their street in a problem, but I couldn't find their house on the street? I'm not going too far enough. Did I go past it? Circle, went back and forth in the same street. And finally, I texted her and said, hey, sweetie, would you please send me your address? Neurologists, neuroscientists tell us it's because we become so needing these things for directions, there's parts of our brain that have gone dead. And they just don't work the way they used to work anymore. We're being stolen from. Is this really by accident? I don't think it's by accident. I think there's actually a sinister force behind this. The attention span that we have is 8 seconds. A goldfish is 9 seconds. My family calls me the goldfish because I have a really bad memory. We'll get into that in just a moment. Actually, the human attention span has dropped from 12 seconds in 2000 to 8.25 seconds in 2015, shorter than a goldfish. Catherine Price wrote this about the formation power of the cell phone and how to break up with your cell phone. She says this: if you wanted to invent a device that could rewire our minds, if you wanted to create a society of people who are perpetually distracted, isolated, and overtired, if you wanted to weaken our memories and damage our capacity for focus and deep thought, if you wanted to reduce empathy, encourage self-absorption, and redraw the lines of social etiquette, you'd likely end up with a smartphone. That's what's happened. We've been stolen from. It's been a sinister plan that an evil entity enacted, and we don't even know what's happening. We're surprised by it. Wake up, and our culture is different. The enemy wants to distract. He wants to steal from us. And it happens all the time. The way he does it is he wants to take our time and our attention. Some of us are so focused on not losing our money in any way, shape, or form. But really, your time and your attention is way more valuable than your money. It's your soul. Your money isn't your soul. Your time and attention, where you put your money, that's your soul. And so it happens regularly and consistently for most of us every day. I wake up and I used to have this old school alarm. Did some of you for the digital reset you wanted might want to bring out that old digital school, old school alarm that would go something like, you know? It's really awesome to wake up to that sound. But it's also awesome that when you turn it off, it's off. I use this phone for my alarm. It's awesome. My wife hates this, but I've made this ring, my ringtone for my alarm, a John Legend song.
Good morning. Good morning, love. It's my favorite love song. I waited all night long.
Good morning. That's awesome. I love it. I reach over, squeeze her. She hates it. Makes me like it even that much more. That's great. No problem with John Legend. You can do that. Right? You buy that John Legend song for your thing. It's pretty cool. But here's the problem. That thing rings, and I get up, and it's like, oh, did I get any texts? What's the weather? I look at the weather, and it quickly devolves into, oh, let's check Insta. I go on Insta. I go, oh, man, phew. Cool four-wheel driving, four-wheeling things there. Oh, which leads me right into hunting videos. Oh, it's awesome, 200-point buck. It's awesome, that's great. Which leads me into a perfectly placed ad for a manly shirt that fits my brand. Ooh, I should buy that. I need that. Which leads me right into a video of somebody saying something real aggressively about how somebody who has different thoughts than I do, how they're stupid, and they get slammed. Which leads me right into another humorous thing where a mom takes an egg and slams it on her kid's forehead and they freak out. Which leads me right into Rock and Roll Hall of Fame where, Tom Petty did, play my guitar gently weeping, steal my guitar gently weeping, with Prince who comes in and does a guitar solo and it's so good I have to watch it three times. By the way, just check that out, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Tom Petty and Prince, you're welcome. It's unfreaking believable. It's amazing. Anyway, I go down this rabbit hole. That's my rabbit hole that's specially queued up for me. And the world has given you a cue that's going to take you down the rabbit hole before you know it. Now I'm going to go like, okay, now I'm going to have my time of prayer. I'm going to interact with God, but I've already had so many stupid things filling my mind. Now I got to detox from all that stuff. Before I can actually hear from God. We are what economists would say, we are in an attention economy. Bitcoin isn't strange. What's strange is we're the coin in the attention economy. Tristan Harris, who was a product philosopher at Google, he says this, the tech industry is in an arms race for people's attention. As a general rule with most of technology, it is intentionally designed and engineered for distraction and addiction because that is where the money is. Jesus says you can serve me or you can serve mammon, which is the personal term for money. These devices don't exist to serve us. They exist to serve the profit of companies. That's what they exist for, period. That's what they're wired for, which is why in Silicon Valley, it's very well known. Again, all these things you probably know, and I'm reminding of these things, I'm just putting them in a spiritual categorization, which is why all the people in the C-suite in Silicon Valley, in the tech world, they don't let their kids use iPhones and iPads. They stick them in schools where it's not part of their learning because they know it rots the brain. They don't want that happening to their kids. But us, and just keep swallowing it. We want to be one of the cool kids. We've seen the latest thing, and it's hurting us. Seth Godin says that our phone doesn't work for us. We work for our phone. That's all the products and algorithms that we get stolen from, we get sucked into. The thief comes to steal, to kill. This means to slaughter. Jesus says there's an entity that wants to slaughter you. He doesn't just want to cause your heart to stop beating. He wants to slaughter you. He wants to pulverize you. He wants to ground you down into applesauce. He wants your mind to not work right. He wants your emotions not to work right. He wants you to be isolated and lonely. Because that's really worse than your heart stop beating. He wants to decimate who you and I are as human beings. He wants to decimate our life. He wants us to not smile very much. He wants us to not laugh. He wants us to not have a hope, or as Jesus would say, the Bible says, a peace that passes all understanding. He wants to slaughter it, an utter bloodbath of our emotions and spiritual sanity. This word here is the same word that's used in Luke 15, where the prodigal son, the wayward son, he goes away. When he comes back in a very repentant way, the father representing God runs out to meet him. And what's he do? He takes the fattened calf that's meant for special occasion, and it says, kill, slaughter the fattened calf. It's the exact same word, just slaughtering. And that's what's happening. We're getting slaughtered, we're getting cut open, and we're getting trampled on. And we seem to not care. Or we even know. And if you hear all this today and you say, I know this, and you can't change anything about your device, it says something about how sinister we're being stolen from and how things have been crushed with us. Just some stats. Again, we've all probably heard this, but let's go over it again. So many of these is things to research, and I just had to start chopping them down, but here's some. Adolescents who spend 3 hours a day on social media had a 60% increased risk of mental health. So says the Journal of American Medical Association 2019. Some of these statistics are like a few years old. It's even worse now. Over the last few years, it's gotten worse and worse and worse and worse. Teen suicide rates increased by 56% between 2007 and 2015. Teens who spent 5+ hours a day on electronic devices were 71% more likely to have at least one suicide risk factor. Enough about teens, okay? They're just the most vulnerable because when you're a teenager, you're more prone to peer pressure than adults are. Your brain is less formed. I don't mean you're stupid. I just mean it's a bit harder, which is why there's a lot of effort to come against this and protect teens from what these devices are doing. One of the fascinating studies I saw was that when teens are polled and said, would you like your parents to take away your device? They almost all say, no, I wouldn't want that at all. When they're asked, would you like all parents to take all teens' devices? They go, yes, I would like that. Because then they know they're not cut out of the social loop. They're not banned from their social circles. They're on even footing. These things are exasperated with teenagers, but us as adults, or me as a 59-year-old, whatever age you are, younger than a teen or older than a teen, these are affecting all of us. Let me keep going here. Excessive screen time is linked to a 30% increase in obesity risk. Because it's sedentary lifestyle. That comes from the Harvard School of Public Health. 61% of young adults, that's 18 to 25, report feeling lonely due to decreased face-to-face interactions. 70% of couples report that the phones interfere with their relationships, leading to lower satisfaction. 90% of Americans use screens before bed, reducing melatonin production by up to 50%, leading to increased insomnia and fatigue. Yes, there's more bags under the eyes of Americans now than ever before in history because of this device that's stealing from us and it's slaughtering us. When you can't get a good 8 hours or whatever you get at night, when you can't get it, and this is effective, it's precious, it's everything, it's your health, it's a way to combat depression and anxiety, it's all those things. You've got problems with depression, anxiety, and job number one is to sleep well. Job number one And this thing keeps us from sleeping well. Multiple studies in the United States, Turkey, and United Kingdom have found that more exposure to these things leads in negative effects in anxiety, depression, social anxiety, low self-esteem, narcissism, insomnia, and decreased sleep. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, "Be alert and sober-minded. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around looking for somebody to devour. Resist him." He prowls around like a roaring lion. Resist him. All the things I'm saying right now, it's roaring at us. These statistics aren't like Christian pastor guy up here. They're atheists who don't believe in this stuff. This isn't like Bible thumper stuff. This is just very, very clear. Like, this is happening right now. There is a roaring lion called our devices that is pulverizing us, that's slaughtering us. And most of us just don't care. We'd rather have instant access to the being a deity and recognize this may not be serving me well, let alone serving my relationship with God well at all. When the roaring lion is trying to devour you, a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, or maybe an entire culture to devour, as 1 Peter 5:8 says, what do? We resist him. And the idea of devour, it's the idea of swallowing up. These devices are swallowing us up. The thought of being without our devices and losing them is, oh my goodness. The thought of me taking a dump without my phone, horrible. Horrible. Haven't taken a dump without my phone. I don't know how long. You don't know, could I even do it anymore? I don't know if I can even do it anymore. Not sure. Weird. When we do this fast, it's going to start in a few weeks. So we're just spending a couple weeks. It's like getting ready to count the cost, figuring out if I want to do this. And by the way, you will decide what your reset looks like. You'll decide what you want to cut out. You'll decide for you. It's your decision. But why are we going to do this? We're going to do this because here at Crossroads, we do hard things. We do hard things like give above and beyond. We regularly give for all the territory that God has given us and changing our lifestyles. Those of us who do hard things actually make commitments to the 10X push and are actually fulfilling those things. That's a hard thing. That's why a lot of people didn't do it. For us, we do hard things because Jesus tells us to do hard things. This will be unbelievably hard. Unbelievably, and that's exactly why we're going to do it. And I don't want to do it, but I'm reminded that I'm going to do it because I do hard things. This will be harder than any elk hunt I've ever done. And this is one of those areas where I'm going to do it right with you. I didn't do it before you. I haven't tried it and checked it out. Now I'm trying to get you to do it. No, we're going to do it in real time. And it's going to be hard and it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be life-changing. If for no other reason than sticking a finger in this thing and going, you don't own me. You will not steal from me. You will not slaughter me. Jesus says, a thief has come to steal secretly, destroy, or kill, slaughter us, or destroy us. That is to perish. That's to take away life. So many things that we hold dear as humans are just taken away from us. They don't exist anymore. I've been noticing the sinister nature of my phone for quite some time, and I decided to do some things about it in the last year. Simple things, but just things I wasn't doing. Like, do you know how you want to broadcast to everybody that you are a dork? You know how you would do that? And I can't believe I've been a dork for years. Like, do I think that I have to multitask by walking and I have that many important things to do? I have to save that time? Do I feel like I'm missing out? Or here's what's even more sinister. Am I becoming afraid of looking at strangers and smiling and saying hello? Oh my gosh, it's horrible. When this sunk in, I was like, I'll walk and talk on the phone. But like, it's been months now. Like, no, I'm not walking and texting. I'm not walking and looking. I'm not. I'm walking like, hey, how you doing? Of course, don't come. Oh, good, good, great. It's good. It's beautiful. Just walking. Hey. Hey. Mind blowing. When's the last time you said hello to somebody you don't know passing by in the street? You'll see somebody about lose their mind when it happens, and they'll like it at the same time. This just doesn't happen for most of us anymore. Seth Godin, who was an early pioneer in understanding how technology is affecting us as human beings, says, your smartphone has two jobs. On one hand, it was hired by you to accomplish certain tasks. In the scheme of things, it's a screaming bargain and a miracle. But most of the time, your phone works for corporations, assorted acquaintances, and large social networks. They've hired it to put you to work for them. You're not the customer. You're the product. Your attention and your anxiety is getting sold cheap. When your phone grabs your attention, when it makes you feel inadequate, when it pushes you to catch up, to consume, and to fret, it's not working for you, is it? On demand doesn't mean you do things when the device demands. How many of us get the phone, the phantom buzz? You know? You feel like our muscles twitch, you know? Like, no, I don't want to. Like, right? You guys get, it's like, you feel the twitch because you have it so often and you're just paranoid of missing it and you find weird. Really, really weird and really unhealthy. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy a flourishing life. I've come that they might have life and have it to the full. That's another translation. When I started doing student ministry in the 80s, I would interact with people who were a bit older than me and had ministries that were more fully developed and reached a lot more kids than I was reaching for whatever reason. And I talked to them about, you know, what was their secret? What was I doing wrong? What were they doing? And I heard regularly, he said, Brian, you may not be doing anything wrong, but here's the thing. Like they said, in the 70s and the 60s, the reason why our student ministries could be really, really big is that there wasn't anything else going on in culture. So you could play football, you could be a cheerleader, you could be in the band, maybe chess club, that was it. There wasn't extracurricular stuff that was happening. There wasn't stuff going on Sunday mornings. Now, of course, we have youth leagues and all that stuff. I mean, an atheist who was a coach in the 80s didn't want to work on Sunday morning either. But now we all do. So the reason our ministries were so big was because kids didn't have anything else to do. There was nothing competing for their attention. They were like, oh, something for me to go do? Wow, something I can go hang out with people? Got nothing better else. And it would go. That's what they tell me. Well, you think about that today. If you want to see an awakening, a sweep of God's Spirit across the nation, how might the adversary stop that from happening? From making us so busy that we think we don't have time to go hear someone talk to me and to hear music that might uplift my heart. Because I don't have to any longer go someplace where someone's planned something. I just have to stare at this for 6 hours straight and think I'm getting something done and getting myself amused. Can you see the sinister nature of it? It's dividing us. It's separating us. It's keeping us from God. So here's what we're going to do. So I'm encouraging you to do three things. Number one, make your smartphone dumb. Eliminate apps for 40 days. Because it's going to be Lent. Lent is a season that Christians historically from all over the globe have said, for 40 days, I'm going to not do with something. I'm going to do without something because I want to take that time and energy to think about God and to sacrifice a little bit because Jesus sacrificed for me. That's what Lent is supposed to be. Not like I'm just going to get rid of chocolate because I like it and I don't want to have it anymore. It's supposed to be, I'm flushing something from my system that may be keeping me from God, and I want to spend that energy thinking about God, talking about God. So for Lent, for that day, we're going to flush our system, detox our system of certain digital things. And so you decide on your smartphone what you want to delete for 40 days to make it dumb. You probably want to keep your weather app on there. You want to keep your text message app on. There's a number of things on there, but make it dumb. Number two, eliminate all other screens for personal use. Like, when's the last time you just said, let's just try to get rid for personal use? You can't do this for work. You know, if you're a movie critic, you got to watch movies. If you got an email account with work, you got to stare at a screen to do your email at work. But we don't have to be checking in on our email on our day off when we're taking a dump. Don't need to do that. Number three, limit your digital tools to apps during work hours. Another way to look at it is this. You can either be a tool, or use this as a tool. And most of us, unless you're doing something intentionally, we are a tool right now for big corporations and big tech and advertising execs who are owning us, and they're rewiring our brain and dividing us and changing things about everything. Like, it's deep, man, really deep. Like, even down to stuff like back in the old days, I used to give talks to young people at Crossroads who weren't married saying, don't have sex until you get married. I don't have to give those talks anymore because the statistics are pretty clear. People aren't even having sex anymore. Sex therapists would tell you that. Their biggest clientele is 20-something men who, when they get with an actual real woman, they can't get aroused. Because we can get aroused and satisfy ourselves in the middle of a field. It's not like go to 7-Eleven, walk out with a brown wrapper magazine. It's not like my computer, a desktop computer, I'm worried about being busted and being fired from work. No, I can go anywhere and get aroused, male or female, and you think that doesn't affect our interaction with the opposite sex and our heart? Oh my goodness, we're a tool. We're a tool for this. So what might you do? If it's a tool, you'd say non-work email. Outside of working hours, I'm doing emails. If it's a tool, you go, hey, I'm gonna use it as a phone. If you are a tool, you're gonna be using social media, which doesn't get you anything. Nothing, except wasting of time. If you want to use it as a tool, text. Text keep you in touch. Quick and to the point, that's fine. News apps. I'm eliminating all news apps for 40 days. I'm going to go 40 days without any news. And you know what? I will be just fine, and so will the world. Hello, what do you need? If there's something important, someone will tell me. And it'll probably be more accurate. Every morning I get up, I have a couple news sources. I go and I devour, and then I check in during the day. I'm not helping the world or myself. It's just my need to be in the know and fill up 2 minutes of time instead of maybe praying for 2 minutes. When I have to have the news all the time, no, I'm being a tool. But the calendar, it's a tool. I want my calendar right here. Games, we're a tool. Airline apps, it's a tool. That's helpful. Web browser we're a tool. Endlessly searching things. Using the Crossroads app is a tool. We're going to have special things in the Crossroads app, devotionals over those 40 days. Not only that, I'm testing right now an app that Crossroads is being gifted for free for the 40 days. It's called Aro. It is awesome. It basically gamifies putting down your phone. Those of us who have been trying it, it's amazing, and we'll talk about that in weeks ahead. YouTube video clips. This one's going to hurt for me. I've never seen a YouTube clip I didn't like. I don't know what I'm gonna do, not watching car restoration videos or people who kill 200 point bucks with a bow and arrow up in a tree. I don't know what I'm gonna do, but I'm gonna do it. Camera? No, I need camera. Take picture stuff. When I'm a tool, I'm endlessly looking at Amazon shopping. How much more do we spend because of this? Weather? Good to know what to do. It's a tool. Ephesians 5:14, I'll give this to us again. Awake, you sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you. Can we all just admit that maybe we're just a little dead? Can we just see that we're not the person we could be, right? Just forget about culture out there. Do we not see that we just don't have the attention span, the patience, the ability to be silent, the ability to be still? Do you like that? I don't. And I intend to do something about it. I intend to wake up. And I want you to wake up too. And I know if you do, you'd be really, really thankful you did. So we've got 2 weeks. We're going to talk about this, and then we're going to start. All right? Let me pray. Lord, you are so kind and patient. Your children are distracted, and yet you hang in there with us, and you're patient. Your children are antsy and consumed with all kinds of things that you don't care at all about, and yet you still are faithful. God, help us to be children who are full of life, children who laugh, children who run, children who look people in the face, children who have a sense of wonder. We trust in you to do that. We commit that that's who we want to be. Amen.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Oh, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dear in the light of his glory and grace. Oh, and the things of earth will grow strangely of his glory and grace.
Jesus, would you lead us back to you? Because I know you have more for us. Lead us towards life. Wake us up. Refresh us again, God. Pray this in you, Jesus. Amen.